The Winnipeg Jets back in action tonight. Game 2 versus the Colorado Avalanche in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Kathy Kennedy in for Greg Mackling this week. She has a bold prediction about that game. And it's a prediction that is the kind that typically Greg Mackling would not be a fan of. Also today, we learned about a fascinating business in Winnipeg that we'd never heard of, but it's doing so well that they're set to expand nationally. It's called La La Land, and it has to do with something called baby sensory classes. Ever heard of those? I sure hadn't. We'll learn more together. And over the weekend, Premier Wab Kanu changed someone's tire at random. Just stopped to help somebody. So we asked you about times that someone stopped to help you while you were in need, or vice versa. I'm Brett McGarry. Alongside Kathy Kennedy, we are McGarry and Kennedy in this week for Mackling and McGarry. And this is the Tuesday, April 23rd podcast for The Start.
Oh! That's not for the Jets.
You did remark there's a full moon this morning.
Yes, it's beautiful.
I don't know if it's disappeared behind the veil of clouds, but we were able to see it about half an hour ago. It was semi-visible, but it was like a dark orange,
yeah.
At least through the tint of our windows. But looked pretty cool. But that couldn't be, a full moon typically brings the wild things out.
It does. I'm excited for the show today because you just never know on a full moon. Tuesday morning, Brett. What is going to happen?
Is that so? I mean, you've been to rock concerts in Las Vegas, and you know you've seen a lot in your radio days. Is that a genuine human behavioral observation you've made?
Yeah, you know what? Dead serious. More often than not, some crazy things happen on a day like today.
Okay,
and. You know, is it because of the full moon? Well, I mean, what else can it be? I don't know. I mean, it's not just because it's a Tuesday, because the Winnipeg Jets are playing tonight.
Yes.
8:45. That's a little late for you and I.
I am vowing to not see 1 second of this hockey game tonight. And it's not because I don't want to, but I would really have to, like, if I were to stay up and watch that game or listen to that game, even in bed, I'd have to sort of alter my, like, plan my whole day around it. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be doing that.
Sure.
And good for you. I just, you know, if that thing ends close to midnight or 11:30, probably won't fall asleep until after.
Yep.
Well, after midnight. And I just don't want to, I can't put myself in that position as much as I'd like to. Unless someone were to offer me tickets. And then it's a situation where you're suddenly faced with a pretty serious decision.
Well, sure.
Did I ever tell you about when I was offered tickets for a game last year?
No.
Okay, so I'm sitting at the pub Friday. It's about 11:30. I get a text message from a buddy who's got tickets for the second home game. So I think this would have been game 4 in that first round series the Jets were in last year. And because he has access to season tickets through his family, and he's invited me to a number of games over the years, and like regular season games. And I generally politely decline because I hate to say anything negative about our arena. I don't particularly like going to Canada Life Center because I'm 6'4". The seats are just they're a touch small for me. So I really have to get tucked in, like keep my knees together and sort of lean forward so that my knees aren't bashing the seat in front of me. But he offers me these tickets for the playoff game. And I just went into it was like auto mode. Oh, thank you for your invitation, but I politely decline. And then 2 minutes later, I think, whoa,
hang on.
You never been. This is a playoff game. You never been to a playoff game, McGarry. What are you doing? So at this point, I'm frantically texting him back. Oh my God, what am I doing? I'm so yes. I'll go. I will go.
And
so I made it. Made it to the game.
Oh.
He had seats in the third row, I think.
Third
or fourth row. The Jets lost, and they you could tell that they'd already checked out. Like that was a team that didn't have its heart.
Yeah.
in the playoffs. But this is a team that does. So if there was a last second invitation, I would probably have to very strongly consider going.
Well, and if you said no, I would suggest that you pass along my number. Because I'll make it work. But you know what? Sarah McCarthy and I were talking earlier this morning and saying, you know, man, that's such a late start for tonight. Maybe we'll both watch one period.
Yeah.
And but then the problem is, Brad, if it's like, you know, the game the other night and it's that exciting, how do you walk away after one period?
Well, that's the trap dilemma I always fall into when I'm watching a bingeable show. If I'm watching a bingeable program and the episodes aren't too long.
Yeah.
Because you and I both watched that Physical 100 on Netflix, the South Korean show to determine, it was a contest show to see who's the strongest, fittest person in South Korea. And it was bingeable or addictive, but the episodes were long enough that I could look and say, oh, the next episode's 70 minutes. I'm not staying up for that.
Right.
But if it's 40 minutes, then I might go, I can watch one more. And then you get to the end of that episode, and then you see the next one's like 35 minutes, and you go, well, it's already 9 o'clock. What's 9:35 going to do?
Yeah.
And then it's suddenly 10:30, and I'm like, well,
now morning
Brett. Now the eternal war between morning Brett and evening Brett continues.
Well, you're not alone. And I'm like you when it comes to bingeable shows, especially I'm all about Love on the Spectrum. I was telling you about this.
Yeah.
Jim Toth and I are all about this show. And their episodes are pretty short, usually about 40, 45 minutes. And yeah, you know, when you should be napping or, you know, you should be going to bed, it's like, okay, well, it's only 38 minutes.
You know?
Problem is, then it's two or three episodes, and yeah, like you say, it's 11 o'clock, and you're in trouble.
Yeah, I can't. Almost, there's so many, and that's one of the reasons why I'm genuinely trying to get to this bed before eight routine and actually stick to it. I've been working on it for a few weeks now. I don't always do it, but because this war, the aforementioned war between evening Brett and morning Brett has been waging for far too long. The conflict must end because morning Brett is getting really sick and tired of waking up super angry at evening Brett, who makes dumb decisions and stays up late as though he's a trickster trying to sabotage morning Brett.
Well, you know what? And listen, I have done this shift for over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into a pretty good routine where, you know, I could go to bed at 11. Because I would sleep in the afternoon. But, you know, when you have that routine for years and years and years, it's easier to follow. These last 2 days, when that alarm clock goes off at 3:07 and then 3:09 and 3:11, a little angry myself.
I'll bet. So was that a staple of your routine? Like when it was a set schedule, you'd always make sure to get that afternoon nap?
Yeah, I was vigilant about that. I'd get minimum 2 hours in the afternoon and then 4 to 5 at. So I'd get 7, you know, in total. Broken, although, you know, it may be, but 7 hours for sure.
Okay. Yeah, and that might be the next thing I need to try, because the problem I'm facing is I'll go to bed early, but then I wake up early, and then the last few hours of my sleep are scattershot. So maybe I really need to just devote myself to that
Brett,
afternoon routine.
I'll come over with some warm milk and a blankie at 1 p.m.
It's time for your nap.
Yes.
So as we've been telling you, there's a picture circulating of Premier Wab Kanoo, the side of a highway, changing a tire, wearing a suit over the weekend. We got the details and spoke to him about it yesterday on CJOB.
Before they could get there, I was, you know, watching car after car drive by us, and was quite relieved to see their car pull in behind us. And very quickly, Wab was able to change our tire for us and get us on the road safely.
That was actually Tasha Spillett, who says she, along with her daughter and mom, were headed back to Winnipeg from her father-in-law's memorial on Little Saskatchewan First Nation on Saturday. 90 minutes later, she got a flat, calls the CAA. Her husband was still in the community, but his close friend, Wab Kanoo, was not far behind and rushed to help. So That'd be pretty cool, having the premier step up and change your tire. And it got us thinking about the times that we have been stranded or in need of aid and someone came to our aid. Or maybe you were the person who stepped up and helped somebody out. And if there was no help, how did you get yourself out of it? What'd you do?
So in the 80s, there was a big storm. I can't remember what year. It would have been maybe 88. Our listeners can remember, I'm sure, and help out. Big storm. I was driving from Brandon to Portage. I was moving to Portage La Prairie, and I got stuck on the number one right near the Portage overpass and was in the ditch. And I'll never forget a gentleman, and the car was full of, like, stuff, right, because I was moving. A gentleman by the name of Pete, that's all I can remember. His name was Pete. He actually sat with me until help arrived. I'll never forget that because I was freaked out. I mean, you don't know how long you're going to be stranded in the ditch, right? It's similar to that story we were talking about yesterday about those guys who were stranded fishing, right? So, I'll never forget Pete. Who came and sat with me. He couldn't do anything. I mean, the snow or the car was buried in the ditch, but he came and sat with me. Pete.
Right on, Pete. How long did you have to wait for help?
Oh, it was hours.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I think 5-6 hours.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on, Pete. Cam Poitras, what about you?
Well, I'll talk about another mysterious gentleman that I have no idea who or what they are, but I remember we were in North Kildonan with my dad and his old locksmith truck, and we were stuck on a side road in North Kildonan. I can't even remember what road it was, but we were, I was a young kid, so trying my best to shovel out as best as I could, but, you know, I was essentially useless. Out of the fog and the storm walks out this guy in a hockey jacket with a wide shovel. He just appeared out of nowhere, trudging through. And I'll tell you this cat could shovel. This guy dug in and he had us out of there in probably 15 or 20 minutes. And then he just disappeared once again into the wind and the blowing snow,
wow,
never to be seen again. I don't remember this guy's name, but I remember vividly him walking out of that storm.
So are you sure that actually happened?
Maybe not.
Sounds like a movie.
Might have been an angel.
The
I don't know.
Shovel specter of North Carolina.
Snow angel. A snow angel.
Sarah, what about you?
Well, this just happened to me not too long ago. I wasn't exactly stranded in this one, but I was washing my vehicle at one of those like self-serve, do-it-yourself type of thing with all the tools. And I walk around and I just gasp because one of my tires is slowly sinking. And it wasn't too bad, but I could tell it was definitely lower than the other ones. And this had never happened to me before. So pretty lucky up until then, and then I did notice there was a screw or a nail or something in the tire. And so someone, obviously there's different like lots in there, right? So someone obviously saw me like panicking, like bending down to look at the tire, and they came over to ask if I needed any help or whatnot. And I feel bad I did not get this gentleman's name either, but we just went outside. There's just a tire air filler. Air for your tires.
Tire filler.
What are those?
You know what I mean. And I probably could have done it myself, but it was nice to have someone there just for support, emotional support,
nice.
And just help pump it up as best as we could. He had like a temporary little patch thing, something I didn't have. And that did the trick until I could get a appointment the next day to fix it. So really appreciated that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Brett?
Well, I want to hear Forte first,
oh, yes,
and then if we
yes.
have time, I'll weigh in. Go ahead, Jeff.
Last winter, I'm dressed up, about to go out for a walk, and I step out into the hallway of my apartment building, and I could see something poking out of the elevator, and it's a box spring. New neighbors are moving in, and the guy is trying to get the box spring out of the elevator, and it is just jammed in there, like jammed in the door. And so I go to help him, and you know, I'm trying to talk to him like, okay, we've got to push the mat, the mattress back, the box spring back, push it back into the elevator, straighten it out, and he can't understand me because he's from Ukraine. So he doesn't speak English. And I'm going, so I'm pointing the back of the elevator. All of a sudden, the door is closing. The alarm for the elevator is going off. I'm going, no, press the door open button, press it, and he doesn't know what I'm talking about, and I'm doing hand signals. We finally worked it out. Got the mattress back into the elevator and then pushed back out. But it was quite a story. And when that alarm's going off and I'm dressed in my winter clothes, like I'm sweating now. I'm sweating.
See, what you should have done is you should have just yelled, "Pivot!"
Yes! Yes!
So at 204-780-6868, we have a four-pack of passes for tonight's whiteout party. We want you to tell us about a time you were stranded or stuck and someone came to your aid, or vice versa, a time that you helped someone else out in a sticky situation. And if there was no help on either side, what did you do? Breakfast with the Bombers, brought to you by Cooperators, investing in your future together. And today, KK, we're talking about the return of an exciting event, Taste of the Blue Bombers, on May 23rd.
And our guest is Wade Miller, president and CEO of the Winnipeg Football Club. Good morning, Wade. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you both?
We are doing very well, and we're very excited that Taste of the Blue Bombers is coming back. What is the Taste for those who do not know?
Yeah, you know, last year was our first year, inaugural year of the Taste of the Blue Bombers presented by Liquor Marts. And what the event is experience Princess Auto Stadium on a non-game day. And let's see the local restaurants compete for their spin on game day fare. So last year, the restaurants came to play. And, you know, this year, the restaurants that will be at the stadium are Confusion Corner Bar and Grill, Kyle Grill, Red River Culinary School will bring the students out, Nicolino's, Prairie's Edge, Peasant Cookery, and Elena Rustic Italian Restaurant will all be there. And it is just a phenomenal night. And then, you know, so you've got all those great types of small plates that you just, you know, you don't pay extra for. You just pay the, you know, fee to come to the night. So season ticket members, it's $85. And for the rest of our fans, it's $105, and then you just get to come sample all this food, which is just phenomenal. There's bands playing at each one of the gates, and it's right around the concourse, so it's not a sit-down event. You just walk around at your own pace, and it's just a good night out, and our players are there, coaches are there. It's just a fun time to interact with the team as well.
You know, your club excels so much at continuing to branch out and try new things to help bring the community and the fans together. And I'm wondering, like, if this brings in Bomber fans, is this a way to maybe bring in some Bomber fans who normally maybe wouldn't intersect or wouldn't be familiar with a variety of these restaurants?
Absolutely. And it's a way for us to also work with, you know, the restaurants in the city as well and get them exposure too. And you know, that's a big part for us. And, you know, you hear all of these ones, you know, it's a great opportunity for our fans and also to get people that maybe aren't Bomber fans to come down and enjoy a night of food at Princess Auto Stadium. And, you know, so we talked about all the restaurants, and then we've got the whole dessert category, which is its own thing. And four great different dessert places coming down too, with Cakeology, Cool Beans, Milk, can't read the rest of my writing.
Milksmith.
Milksmith, thank you. And then Generate Cake. So that's going to be fantastic as well. And, you know, it's just, it's a different night when you're in the stadium walking the concourse and there's not a football game going on. Yeah. And it's just a different feeling. We had 700 people show up last year to Taste of the Blue Bombers, and ticket sales are moving towards that number, if not higher. So everyone had such a great time last year. We said, we got to do this again. And, you know, so Taste of the Blue Bombers this year, and then 2025, it's going to be called the Taste of the CFL as well afterwards for the Grey Cup. And we'll have a different event for that in November as well. So
Are they going to be serving up, you know, any sort of football-themed specials, Wade, or special items created, like, just specifically for this event, do you know?
Yeah, they will come up with their own design of, like, a spin on something like that you may have at a football game or a sporting event. And then as everybody that comes in, everybody gets to vote on who wins as the best item for the night and the best food item. And then we'll showcase that company at the first Bomber game as well.
Who won last year?
Kyle Grill won last year. It was just phenomenal. So, yeah.
And is this like if I wanted to go, if I'm say I'm a Bomber fan, can I go in my Bomber gear, or is this like a you know, suit and tie or at least a sport coat kind of thing? Or
no. it's Bomber chic. Come as you like as a Bomber.
Love it.
Way to go, Wade.
Absolutely. There is no ties. There is no suit jackets. It's just a nice night out on a, you know, going out with the friends and friends and family, and just come walk around and enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy the music, enjoy the food, enjoy hanging out and getting to know the players as well. So it's just it's a really nice atmosphere, and you know, we look to build on what we did last year with it.
Well, you know what, Wade, you sold me as soon as you said Cakeology and Jenna Ray Cakes. I mean, that's all it took.
Fair enough.
Wade Miller, president and CEO of the Winnipeg Football Club. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Once again, this is Taste of the Blue Bombers, May 23rd, and tickets are $85 plus GST for season ticket members, $105 plus GST for the regular price, May 23rd, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., Princess Auto Stadium. And again, participating restaurants and bakeries, Confusion Corner Drinks and Food, Caillou Grill, Amsterdam Tea Room, Red River College School of Hospitality and Culinary Arts, Nicolino's, Prairie's Edge, Peasant Cookery, Elena Rustic Italian. So the food lineup is stellar. And then Cakeology, Cocoa Beans, Gluten Free Bake Shop, Milksmith Inc., and Generate Cakes.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be a really super fun night. And and Wade was bang on when he said, you know, you get to experience the facility in a non-game environment. Like, I wasn't at this event, but I was on location for the Blue Bomber Fan Appreciation Day.
Yeah, that's a ton of fun too.
So getting access to the concourse in a calmer,
right,
sort of setting was cool, because to just be able to sort of sit and really marvel at the size of this stadium that you're in.
Yep.
And the fact that the players are going to be there is amazing too. And that's another thing this team does so well, is they get their players out. You know, we speak to their players so often on this radio station, and the players are so great with their time and making sure that their fans get to meet them.
And listen, if Dalton Schoen wants to chow down on a Generay cake with me, I'm okay with that. Just throwing that out there.
They do make tasty stuff. Wonderful stuff. So yeah, once again, Taste of the Blue Bombers returning on May 23rd. Also, just wanted, this is a slight pivot. We were talking earlier about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and why did they still call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because, you know, you've got R&B artists and hip hop artists, and we're not complaining about that. You know, Kool and the Gang is in this year. They're awesome. Well, I just see this concert announcement come into our CJOB news at CJOB.com from True North Sports and Entertainment. Ludacris with guest Cardinal Official.
Wow.
Coming to Canada Life Center on August 1st. 2024.
Look at that.
That's pretty cool.
That is a heck of a show right there. Those two, come on.
I like that. So that's it. Once again, August 1st at Canada Life Center. Public on sale this Friday, April 26th at 10 a.m. We're asking you about a time that somebody helped you when you were stranded or stuck, or vice versa. Maybe you stopped to help somebody. This is inspired by how Premier Wab Canoe stopped and helped somebody change their tire while he was wearing a suit over the weekend. And the picture kicked up a stir, a fuss on the social media. Pretty cool that our Premier did that. And Mike, who was actually our playoff qualifier today. So Mike is sort of leading us out here. Mike says, one day last summer, while on vacation, my wife and I were with her family. We're heading to Gimli, and we saw a young lady with a flat on the perimeter. So we turned around and helped her. And it turns out she was an Indigenous woman who was on her way to a council meeting in Power View, and no one stopped for 45 minutes. And she was so appreciative, she paid for our lunch.
Aw. Steve says, good morning. Years ago, but I left my car, or my car left me stranded outside of Portage on my way to a baseball tournament. I grabbed my big bag full of catcher's gear. And
of course, he has to be a catcher.
Oh, of course. And started walking down number one highway, hitchhiking to get into town. A couple of girls I knew and worked with drove by and waved, but they kept on going. Can you believe that?
The unmitigated gall.
Right? I walked for another mile or two before a couple from Brandon that had been in Winnipeg the night before stopped to pick me up. Now, they knew they had been drinking and partying, but didn't remember why they had gone to Winnipeg from Brandon the night before. They stunk and were still drunk. I was very scared on the drive, but they got me to where I was going on time. More importantly, what did he do to those girls he worked with? Like, what did he say to them?
That's a great follow-up question, Steve. We want to know, like, what did you give them the what's for? But that is, I'm glad that you made it and everyone was okay, Steve. But the fact that you got it, like, that these guys drove from Brandon to Winnipeg to party and couldn't remember why? How hard did they party?
Well, you know, the Weed City, Brett, you know, we tend to go hard, apparently. Somebody else said, by the way, 1986, driving from work on a dirt road, my car started to shake. Pulled over and realized I broke a tie rod. Oh, I did that myself this summer. No traffic at all. 15 minutes later, a car was coming. Here it was my girlfriend's parents picking pine cones. What? They drove me into town, bought me the rod. Oh, nice. Went back to my car and changed it. It was a 400-mile round trip.
They must have really liked him.
Did you marry her? Like, you should have married this girl. Like, the parent, just for the parents alone.
Could you imagine if the parents didn't like this guy?
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, you got a problem there, hey? Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah. Let me know how you make out.
And this listener says, I went with my dad once. I was off on winter break in the early 80s. He was a courier driver and his route was in the south. And we were in this little town called St. Claude. We delivered to a flower shop and then realized the highway was closed. So the owner of the flower shop offered us his home to stay for the night. Wow. And after thinking about it, we stayed at the stranger's place. Didn't know them from the hole in the ground. The florist ended up taking my dad out to the local pub there. It was a Thursday night. My dad's a musician and ended up playing with the local band out there. He didn't get home till 2 o'clock in the morning, left me at this florist family's house in St. Claude. I was 13 years old, didn't know anyone, but it still ended up being a lot of fun.
That's how, you know what? Tooth and Nail come from St. Claude. I wonder if they were jamming with Tooth and Nail.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool. And what a cool, you know, you think you're in this awful situation, like, oh, shoot, we're stuck here. How are we going to get home? What are we going to do? Where are we going to stay?
Yeah.
And then someone welcomes you into their life, and then you end up, this was probably his dad. It was probably one of the most fun nights he ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. And you know, the kindness of strangers, Brett, never ceases to amaze. You know, as much as we talk about, you know, bad stuff in the world, there's a lot of kindness out there as well.
Yeah. I was at, for me, the example was, it was more a moment of panic. And this guy jumped to my aid immediately. We were at Maple Grove Rugby Park for the dog park.
Yeah.
So we were parked on the street that sort of leads in towards the dog park, which is kind of tucked away behind the trees. And there was snow on the ground and it's just a gravel road. And I guess I parked just a touch too far over. The car was just on a slight angle. So when we went to get out, we couldn't. Just driving my little Chevy Cruze. Just couldn't get out. We were stuck. And we were trying back and forth, trying to push the car out. And some guy in a big pickup truck pulls up and he just pulls out this massive chain and hitches it to something under my car and gives it a yoink and away we go. And I was so thankful for that, especially because I just didn't know how to operate my own vehicle. All I would have had to do probably was turn off the traction control, and that probably would have given my car enough kick to get out. So, but I was thankful for his help.
Yeah.
Because like people were very quickly filing out. It was like the park had closed or something. I don't know. And we were soon to be the last car on that road.
Hey, end of the story. Trucks with big chains equals win.
There you go. And maybe you can win the whiteout party tickets. We're going to pick our winner at 9:15. Tell us about a time you helped someone who was stranded, or the reverse. Maybe you were stranded. Well, here's the headline. I'll just read you the headline. La La Land baby sensory classes set for national expansion. Born and raised in Manitoba, growing nationally with franchise opportunity. So this immediately grabbed my attention, KK, because A, local company expanding nationally. Cool.
Yep.
But the bigger thing that stood out for me is the question, what's a baby sensory class?
Well, guess what? Fran Hebert is the co-founder of La La Land, and she's joining us in studio. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, you and I had a chance to chat before we came to air. The story of La La Land is so incredible. You have to give us, you know, the Reader's Digest version, if you could.
Sure, yeah. So it was founded by myself and my business partner, Denise. And we met over 10 years ago in Winnipeg. We were working for a big global beverage company. And it was a very, very male-dominated industry. So we became very close quickly, became best of friends. Fast forward a few years, and we both got pregnant at exactly the same time.
That's crazy.
Found out on the same day.
Crazy.
Wow.
9 months later, two baby boys were born 1 day apart from each other. At that time, I was living in the UK, and Denise and I were still very good friends. She came over on our mat leave, and it was on that trip to London that our lives changed forever. So I took her to every baby class in London, and we went to them, and although there were so many aspects of them that were good, it really got us having the conversation about what would we do? How would we do this differently? And from that point, La La Land was born, the concept was born, and we just really felt like there was a big space in the market to cater for these young families. You know, we had this experience side by side. We knew what these new parents needed, and we wanted to fill that gap. And it's been our mission since starting La La Land that we will bring this everywhere, as far as we can go. And so from today, we're 5 years in. We are in 9 locations across Winnipeg and East St. Paul. So we have over 500 families attend each week. And we are also expanding outside of the province. So we're set up to franchise now and just really excited to bring this to more Canadian families.
So do you have like 9 of your own standalone properties, or are you affiliated with other organizations?
Yeah, so we predominantly run out of community centers. We're at JCC, Rady Center as well. So we can kind of move around. And that's a really nice thing about the business, is that we can go to young families. So when Denise and I were starting, well, should we do one bricks and mortar location? No, we want to be in the community. And there is so many things in society at the moment that keeps us apart from one another. And it can be hugely overwhelming when you have this new baby. It's joy-filled. It's so exciting. But it can be overwhelming and exhausting. And so we wanted to be where the families were and kind of bringing those communities close together and just let them have an experience like Denise and I had.
Okay, so people are saying, what does a baby sensory class entail?
Yeah, so we use lights, sensory props, textures, music, puppets, and we create these immersive environments. Each class is centered around a theme. So you come every week and it's going to be a different experience. And it was really important for us to create something that was not just developmentally appropriate for the child, but also really enjoyable for the grown-up. So we have some really cool themes. So we do stuff like Under the Sea Week, where the babies turn into little fishies, or we've got them flying off to space and they're little astronauts. We take them to the spa and they wear robes and shower hats, or we even have a construction theme where there's been a water main break on Portage and Main. It's causing chaos and we need the babies to fix it. And they've got these little hard helmets and fluorescent vests. So it's lots of fun.
It does sound like fun. And I would imagine that there are some who suggest this is just glorified babysitting, or you're just trying to keep them entertained. But that entertainment is crucial to the development of their mind, from what you've discovered.
Absolutely. I mean, there is so much research that supports sensory play. So you only need to do a quick search to see how beneficial this style of play is for a child's development, particularly babies and toddlers. And so when Denise and I were going through the literature, we were pulling together these milestones that babies are going through. And that's how we split up our program. So we have Lulla newborns, which is you can come from 6 weeks old up until about 6 months when they're kind of sitting independently. And then Lulla babies, when they're sitting independently to taking their first steps, and then Lulla tots, where they're walking until 3.5 years old. And it's not, it is entertaining, but it is also just developmentally appropriate for the child. So we work on those milestones that that child is going through. So our toddler focus, our toddler program focuses more on sharing, building confidence, whereas our newborn program is really just about fostering bonding between the caregiver and the child, and working on things like tummy time and eye tracking.
And obviously you and Denise can't be running around and taking care of 500 families. So tell me about the staff, because you've put great thought into the people that you hire.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have the best staff team, I've got to say. They're amazing. A lot of our staff come from a performing arts background. So first of all, they're all phenomenal singers. And I think as an exhausted parent, if you come to our class, there's just something about appreciating a really good voice, you know? So you're going to experience that in our class. And they're just phenomenal storytellers. They've worked with babies for years and years. We've been here in Winnipeg for 5 years now. And, just such a strong team that are really passionate about our mission and bringing it to more families.
Well, and one of your class leaders, Olivia Ulrich, I see, is an actor, and this appears, being a class leader appears to have given her a newfound maybe appreciation or a new way to use her previous skills that she never would have thought of.
Yeah, exactly. And when you kind of work in that industry, sometimes you can have lulls or periods where you're not finding work. And actually, it's our role is a really nice fit for those people, because we can offer that consistency. Olivia's a fantastic leader. She does really well. And she also helps us on the marketing front too. So we've got a super talented team. If they've got the talent, we use them. It's great.
And you know, people don't realize how much is going on in a baby's mind, you know, even under the age of one, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely staggering. Once you actually start looking at the research, obviously when you become a parent, you can appreciate it. It's happening in front of your eyes. But when you look at all the milestones that they're going through, there's so much. You know, we kind of got to a point of, let's just focus on the key things that are happening at these points in time and tailor our program to that. So, there's an awful lot of change going on for the baby. There's also an awful lot of change going on for the parents well, particularly if it's your first child. Like I said, that experience can feel very overwhelming for people, and just bringing people together. You know, you're going to come to our class and you're going to be sat next to someone who is either in exactly the same stage or a couple of months apart. And that's really precious. Like we see lovely friendships blossom from our classes. And that is just something that really, you know, fuels us. We love it.
Go ahead, Kiki.
I was just going to say, you have to just be filled with so much joy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that a concept with your dear, dear friend has not only come to life and fruition, but look at it where it is today.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And just kind of thinking about what is next, like, you know, we have 500 families coming from this city, but we've also had over the last 5 years so many inquiries from people outside of the province saying, hey, I've seen what you're doing on Instagram. Are you doing anything in Calgary? And we're like, oh, not yet, but we want to get there. But now we are finally in a position to be able to franchise this and take it, you know, outside of Manitoba. So it's really exciting kind of thinking about what's coming next.
And that official announcement is coming tomorrow. So we appreciate you giving us sneak peek on that. That's happening tomorrow morning at Dance Method at 714 Watt Street at 10:30. One of the things I'm curious about is, you know, I've heard that one of the reasons why we have a lot of problems, or, you know, I'll just say it, you know, maybe people of a certain vintage, you know, that technology has evolved way faster than we have.
Right.
So we can, that's why we can feel overloaded, overwhelmed by the technology. But when you're working with babies with this catered and specific or specialized visual stimuli, do you think that one of the outcomes is going to be that they'll be better prepared to absorb all of that tech?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's so many benefits of sensory play, but it's also really good to come to an environment where you strip back all of the tech, because, you know, as a new parent, you can be overwhelmed with everything being bombarded to you on your phone and at home, and just kind of bringing babies and grown-ups into a place where it's 45 minutes, you are just focused on your little one. And you see phones in the class, but it's more, I'm capturing this memory and I want to take a photo of it, than it is kind of being distracted by other things. So I really feel like that is kind of a great thing that we can offer new parents, because it's so easy to be distracted.
And that's the average class length is 45 minutes?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. So where do you go from here, Fran? I mean, look at what you've managed to accomplish in 5 years. What's next?
Yeah. So franchising is our biggest thing. We would love to expand this further out. So right now we're just in Winnipeg and East St. Paul. We'd love to kind of go further out and then franchise through in other provinces. So, you know, if anyone's listening that thinks this is something that they could be aligned to, if you're outside of the province, or if you know someone that's outside of the province, you know, we're looking for someone who wants to start a business, that wants a flexible schedule. They are passionate about serving new families and seeing them thrive. You know, this is a role for someone who wants to serve the community. Then get in touch with us. So go to lalalandsensory.ca /franchising and fill out the form. We would love to get connected with you. And I'd also say for anyone out there who has a little one at home and is thinking about coming to a class, go to our website, lalalandsensory.ca. We have a new term starting from next week, some of my favorite themes happening from next week. And, you know, wherever you are in the city, you're going to be about 10, 15 minutes away from one of our locations. So come and just have a great time with your little one.
Congratulations to you and Denise.
Thank you so much.
What a great idea, and the fact that you've taken it, you know, so far so fast is obviously there's a lot of need out there. So thanks, Fran.
Yeah, very welcome.
Fran Hebert, co-founder of Lalaland, joining us live on 680 CJOB. Really fascinating stuff. Congratulations on your success, and thanks for coming to see us in the studio. It is McGarry and Kennedy, Kathy Kennedy, and for Greg Mackling this week after 9:35, we're going to be joined by the West End Resource Center. They want to tell us about their employment program and some opportunities that could be available to you. In our next segment, we have whiteout party tickets to give away for tonight, asking you to tell us about the times that you were stranded and someone came to your aid, or vice versa, the time you went to someone else's aid. But right now, KK, we are heading to the park.
We are indeed. Assiniboine Park is hosting a party for the planet this weekend, and it is taking place at both the zoo and the Leaf. Joining us is Laura Kayback, Director of Public Relations and Communications, to tell us all about it. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us. First and foremost, tell us what's happening at the zoo, because there are a lot of activities that you can take part in to go along with your zoo admission this weekend.
That's right. So every year around Earth Day, we host what we call a party for the planet. And let's be honest, in our world, and I think a lot of people's world, every day is Earth Day. But this weekend, we've got lots of activities planned to really put a focus and a spotlight on it. And what we want to do, first of all, is we want people to have fun. But we hope they, while doing that, they learn something and take something away that they can take home and take more action at home and in their communities and at school to help the planet. So Saturday is our party for the planet at the zoo. And we've got Breakfast with the Bears kicking things off first thing in the morning. And that's at the Tundra Grill. Chef Kristen and her team there put on a great breakfast. But the stars of the show are certainly the polar bears that come for a visit outside the big windows there. And our animal care team will do a Q&A so you can ask all the questions and satisfy your curiosity about polar bears. So that starts the day off. And then from 11 to 3 during the day, we've got all kinds of other activities. We've got folks from the climate action team there to help you learn about what you can do to fight climate change. We have crafts and scavenger hunt with the Parks and Wilderness Society, interpretive stations, selfie station, and a couple of zoo chats where you can learn about our red pandas and bison.
Well, and I know just how popular the breakfast with the bears is. So probably a good idea. I'm going to guess, Laura, to get there early.
Yeah. So breakfast is served from 9 to 11. The zoo opens at 9. So get there early. The animal chat with the animal care team is at 10. So kind of right in the middle of breakfast. But you'll want to get a spot by the window, of course. So come out early. And it looks like it's going to be beautiful weather this weekend. So I think it's going to be a great day.
I think it is. And at the Leaf, Brett, you know, Winnipeggers, their favorite word is free. There are free activities at the Leaf, right?
There are. So all of the activities taking place on Sunday at the Leaf can be enjoyed without paying admission to the biomes. Now, of course, we'd love to see you visit the biomes.
Absolutely.
Because they're wonderful to see. But you can also do all of these other activities, and they take place in the public areas. Some of them are inside. Some of them are outside in the gardens. So over at the Leaf on Sunday, there's a LEED sustainability tour that you can do at 2 p.m. We have a medicine walk with a knowledge keeper named Carl Smith. That's going to be outside in the gardens. There are interpretive stations. You can learn about prairie songbirds and pollinators. And again, our friends from the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society, they're putting on 3 workshops about nature journaling, Manitoba butterflies, and prairie plants. And those happen kind of on the hour at 11, 12, and 1 p.m. And then rounding out the day, we have a really neat workshop with Norbert Mercredi, and he's going to demonstrate and get people playing some traditional Indigenous games. So again, lots of things happening throughout the day. We really hope people will come out and get inspired so that they can go home and maybe amp up, you know, some of the things they do to help protect the planet.
And we should point out the biomes at the Leaf are open from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. And if you have not been to the Leaf yet, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, I'll second that. I mean, it's really beautiful. We have this lovely Brazilian themed display on right now. That's going to be in place until about May 25th, I think, might be the last day in or around there. So, you know, time is running out for that one. And then we'll have something new for folks after that.
Well, and you mentioned, I just want to kind of circle back to one of the things you mentioned earlier about, you know, coming down and maybe learning something in person that you can, that'll inspire you to go home and maybe just try something a little bit different. And I would imagine having, you know, learning these messages with the animals right there would probably trigger at least a handful of people to maybe go, you know, we need these animals. And we need their ecosystems around the world. And if I can do just something a little bit differently that could potentially have an impact on their world, I think that's a super important thing that you're doing.
Yeah, when you talk about modern zoos and you know, all the changes that have happened here at our zoo in the last 10, 12 years, that's really what we're talking about. We want to inspire people to care about the natural world and to take action to protect it. You know, Journey to Churchill, our Northern Species exhibit, is a really good example of that. Those polar bears, if you've ever had the opportunity to watch them and see them up close, which very few people will ever have a chance to do, you know, in the wild, but here you can. That's a pretty moving, powerful experience. And if you can layer that with information about climate change and how that's impacting the North, that's exactly what we're trying to do here. So, you know, and the actions people can take, there's all kinds of things people can do, you know, active transportation, you know, if you can walk, bike, carpool, you know, all the repair, reduce, reuse, recycle, regift, repurpose, right? Reduce your impact on the environment and take efforts to protect the environment and the species that we we do love and appreciate in our world, including pollinators right in your own backyard, right? So if everybody does something little, that can have a really, really big impact on the world.
Indeed it can. And the polar bears are a great example of that. Let's not reduce their sea ice any further than we already have by polluting this planet. Laura, always good to talk to you. And this is going to be a fantastic weekend. Can't wait to get out there myself.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Laura Kayback is Director of Communications and Public Relations for Assiniboine Park.
We've got whiteout party tickets for tonight. A four-pack. We have a four-pack. Hal's got a four-pack on Connecting Winnipeg. Jim Toth has a four-pack on the Jim Toth Show. And Rich and Julie have a four-pack on the news. And I imagine they'll be handing that out earlier. Don't know for sure, but you know, the sooner the better, probably, so they can actually get those tickets out. But I don't know how the, what's been negotiated for that. But we're asking you this morning about a time that you were stranded and stood up to help somebody out, or vice versa. Or I think I just screwed that up. A time you were stranded and someone stepped up to help you out, or vice versa. And Henry Paul's our runner-up here, and then we'll split our winning text, which takes us to the other side of the globe, KK. But Henry says, during the university days, four of us were on a trip to Saskatoon. Okay, well, that's your first problem, Henry. We were on a trip to Saskatoon when my small car's tire blew out and I lost control and I hit the gravel shoulder and it rolled once, landing back on the tires. Ooh. Nothing too serious for injuries, but lots of cuts and bruises. The car was not drivable, so a farmer stopped and took us to their farm. They fed us and then realized that besides being bandaged up, we were physically able to work. So work we did, stacking bales in the barn. I guess it was fitting that the bed and breakfast should be paid for somehow. Later that evening, the small town close by was celebrating their centennial anniversary. Watered down draft was 5 cents a glass, so we had a couple of bucks worth. Not how we drew up the start of this trip, but I guess we made the best of the situation.
Wow, that's a great story, though.
That's cool. Henry's got lots.
Yeah, okay, well, check this one out from Morgan Smith. Picture it, Brett. Borneo, February 2013. I was about 2 weeks into my six-month backpacking trip around Southeast Asia when I got a phone call from my mom telling me that my beloved dad had had a recent heart attack. She was quick to tell me he was okay, but was waiting for surgery to have a quadruple bypass. She told me it would be okay if I stayed on my trip, but after 3 hours of packing and being on hold with three different airlines to switch my flights, I was in a tiny airport waiting for my first flight, crying in a corner, not sure if it was because I was worried about my dad or because my trip had been that I'd been planning for a year was being cut way short, or because I was returning to Manitoba in February. Maybe all of the above, I think, Morgan.
So Morgan goes on to say 72 hours and six flights later, my brother picked me up at the airport and we started driving to go see my dad in the hospital. It was minus 30. The wind was blowing when we came upon an elderly woman stuck deep in a ditch. My brother looked over at me and said, "You up for it?" I groaned and replied and said, "Of course." We dug and we pushed her out. She was so grateful. I was cold and sad, but I was glad to call my dad a jerk for ruining my trip and tell him how much I loved him and to know a good deed was done. I should also add, says Morgan, just before I received the fateful phone call, I had spent the day watching orangutans in the wild, which was a major bucket list item, so the trip wasn't a total bust. So after all that, 72 hours, you still stop to help someone get out of the frozen ditch. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Good job, Morgan. You're going to the whiteout party. Congratulations. Woo-hoo! Next chance to win with Hal Anderson on Connecting Winnipeg, who also has your next code word for the playoff payoff to potentially win a Sony 4K Ultra HD smart Google TV 65 inches. Just want to let you know that we are in the process of updating our question of the day at cjob.com. It's brought to you by Mr. Furnace. Don't call them first. You'll see why. Call Mr. Furnace at 204-832-6243. And with KK's blessing, I will add this question to the website. The question I came up with, KK, is CJOB's Kathy Kennedy has boldly proclaimed the Winnipeg Jets will be victorious on Tuesday night. Some are superstitious about this kind of proclamation. What say you? Option A is, I admire KK's confidence and agree with her. B is, shut it, KK. What do you think, KK? Should I hit publish on this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. We'll have that up for you in just a few moments' time at cjob.com. But right now, we want to tell you about some really, I think, exciting and important new employment program. And our guest in studio is Andre Crate, who is Assistant Program Director, Training, Development, and Employment with the West End Resource Center. Andre, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So before we get going on the employment programs, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the West End Resource Center, or WERC for short.
Okay. The West End Resource Center, we just reopened last year, so that's when I joined them, and we have some really good programs as well as the resource side. So on the resource side, we have a women's group every Monday. We have seniors 55 plus on Tuesdays, so people come, drop in, have a chat, have some snacks and coffee, kind of get to know each other in the community. We also have that we started a couple of months ago, a good food bag, or no, sorry, pet pantry. So it's a free pet food pantry for adults, lower income. If you need that supplement, you can come down, register, and you get free cat and dog food. That's every other week. And then we have the Good Food Bag program, where you pay $15 a week and you get about $50 to $70 worth of groceries.
Wow.
So you have to prepay for that. So you can start prepaying May 7th and 14th. We also have a really good greening program that we're trying to get started in the next few weeks and working for individuals to apply for that. And part of the greening program is we offer free yard maintenance to individuals that are physically unable or to seniors in the neighborhood. So it's free of charge. So we go rake your leaves, cut your grass, that kind of good stuff.
Andre, there must be a lot of people helping you.
There is. We have a really good team, and we're looking at adding to our new team because it's our new fiscal year. So a lot of the greening team and gardening people are summer students, like university students.
Okay.
So we're looking to hire that. And then we just hired a new greening individual as well.
So. Now, I understand, and you don't look old enough to have this level of experience, but 22 years experience in the social services field?
Wow.
Yes. Went to Red River, started in 2002, and took disability and community support. So my main background is working with adults with intellectual disabilities, and did that. And this is coming up in June, year 22.
And there are not only these wonderful programs like the pet food hamper and the good food bag, which you talked about, but employment programs as well. And that's got to be huge.
Yes. So we have the two programs, as I was mentioning before. One is called PrEP, and that's been around since 2018. And we've had roughly about 2,500 people come through that program.
Wow.
And in that program, we offer safe food handling or CPR training. So somebody will sign up for the course, they'll come for an info session, and then they do their training. After that, we'll work with them upwards of 3 months to find them employment. So we send them job boards, work with them on career counseling, their resume, cover letter, job search techniques, anything like that. And then the other program we have is called Stepping Stones to Work. And that was what I was initially hired for. And it's a pilot project this year through EIA. And the main purpose of that is to find individuals on EIA with a criminal record employment.
What kind of challenges does that provide somebody?
Big challenges. So we're just kind of, a few weeks ago, I got involved with the Women's Correctional Center. So went down there and did a few presentations throughout the day. And then we are in the middle of kind of doing a partnership now. So they already offer a safe food handling certificate through high school credit when the women are in there serving their time. And then when they come out, they need somewhere to go for resume help, job search assistance. And then that's where we're going to come in. So I'll be going to a meeting next week and discussing how we can partnership, and hopefully this will be a very long-term thing.
Andre, how have you seen this program expand and grow over the last few years? I'm assuming the need has gotten much greater.
Yes, the economy, it's been a lot greater, and it's been also the job market's been a little bit hard for individuals to find employment, right? So we try our hardest for the stepping stones, like Brett had mentioned, it is difficult with people's criminal records, but we're going to be starting to reach out to some core employers, and hopefully we can build that relationship and have these people employed, or at least part-time or volunteer services, so they can get back into the workforce.
You know, if somebody applies for a job and they have a criminal record, a criminal background, are there any sort of common deflections that they, that, you know, there are thing, reasons they're given, like, oh, I'm, you know, or is it just a blanket? Oh, well, we're just going to look somewhere else, or we're not interested.
It depends on what the criminal record would be, right? So we've, you know, talked to people and said if they want to divulge that they have a criminal record, they can. But regardless, if a job is going to do a background check, they're going to find out anyways what that person is charged for. So far, it's been okay with employers being like, sure, send the person down, we'll interview them. So they're not looking at what they've done in the past. They're trying to look at what they can do for the organization or whatever company in the future, right? So
Andre, tell me a little bit about what motivates you to be involved in programs like this.
I think it's just, you know, the past 20 years, there was a little 3-week break that I took last year, kind of refresh and get back into it. And I love doing this line of work. It's something that this is going to be something I'll probably do until I retire in some way or another. And just lending that hand and helping people and the connection. And, you know, I also have the gift for gab. So I can talk and do presentations. But I think it's just giving people that second opportunity who might have been overlooked or overpassed, or, you know, when somebody says, I have a criminal record, people kind of shrug or, you know, give a side eye sometimes. So right. I think it's just everyone deserves a second chance, right?
Is there a story that stands out in your mind? I mean, without, you know, too many identifiers, is there a story you can relay?
I'm working with a gentleman right now who has a past criminal record from, you know, several decades ago. But he's trying to get his life back together, and there's a little bit of like some medical issues he's dealing with. But deep down to the core, or even getting to know him more and more, I can see he's employable and he wants a job and he wants a fresh start. And he just wants, you know, people not to look at him as being that guy with a criminal record.
Right. And it's got to be tough when the want is there and, you know, the person has been rehabilitated, they've done their time, and yet no one will give them a break.
Yeah, that's the, and then they get looped into that circle of just revolving door of going back to what they know. And then unfortunately they end up back in incarceration or in trouble with the law again. So hopefully this program breaks that cycle and gives people the hope and motivation to come to us.
What does it mean to those who you are working with, whether they've already found success or just the fact that you're willing to help them?
I think it means that people do care. That, you know, I've never been incarcerated, but sitting in incarceration or being in trouble with the law, there's that stigmatization with it. And I think us, or even myself, just reaching out and wanting to help the people gives them a boost of confidence to go out there and apply for jobs or work on the resume that they haven't for, you know, 5, 10, whatever amount of years.
Well, and it's kind of, I imagine there's a potential, like, weird sort of circle of logic for some people, right, who might be the kind of person who says, just lock them up, you know, lock up these criminals and throw away the key. But sometimes people go to jail for life and sometimes they get out, and the whole point of the system is to rehabilitate somebody. And if this, and some people come out and they're just bad seeds. Mm-hmm. But if they go in, do their time, pay their dues and come out, those same people who might have said, lock them up, might be the same people who aren't interested in helping them rehabilitate their way back into society. Is that your accurate in your experience?
50-50. Like, the employers I have talked to, for sure. But then the other employers, you're right, they're just like, I don't want to deal with them. Why are they out? They deserve, like, walk them up and throw away the key. But this last week, I've had two individuals that are recently being released from the women's prison who have reached out and said, hey, I saw your advertisement in the prison. I saw you come down and talk to me a couple of weeks ago. I want help. I want to find a job. And that gave me such a boost of adrenaline and happiness that these two people who I talked to for maybe 20 minutes remembered, reached out, and they want to start over again. So it's things like that that keep me motivated, that love doing this program, and hopefully keeps going on for a really, really long time.
Andre, if people want more information about perhaps just the pet food hamper, the good food bag, the community drop-in, et cetera, where do they go? How do they get that?
So we're located at 823 Ellis Avenue. That's at Ellison Arlington, right beside the 7-Eleven on the corner there.
Yeah,
so right across from the good old Bunty's Car Wash. And they can either stop in. We're open Monday to Thursday from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. We have information. Our staff are always on site. They can also go to westendresourcecenter.org and then get all the information from the programs, my contact information, other employees on the employment team, gardening team, good food bag, all that stuff, resource center as well. So,
thank you for the work that you do and that your whole team does, because it's obviously needed and it's necessary. And you know, it takes a special somebody like yourself.
Thank you.
So Andre Crate is Assistant Program Director, Training, Development, and Employment at the West End Resource Center. Again, that website, westendresourcecenter.org. Andre, thank you very much for this.
Thanks a lot for having me.